I'll just have to ask you. I can't stay here and answer questions afterwards because I have a meeting I have to get to. So you'll have to let me go immediately after the shiur. Okay. We're up to what kinds of organizations you can give your miser to. Okay. Like we said last time, the Iker Meiser, if you can do it, is to give to Tzedakah, to Aniyim. But the Meiser you can also give to other things. Hey, what's it called? A Gemach. A Gemach meaning over here not to give money to a loan fund, but the things that loan out, Kalim, what's it called? Different kinds of Gemachim there are. Okay, so those are Gemachim of Chesed. And you're allowed to give your Meiser money to those kind of Gemachim so they can buy things to loan out or whatever. All different kinds of things. Okay. Shure Torah. You're allowed to give your Meiser to organizations that provide shiurim for people. Right? That's also, Talmud Torah is also a reasonable amount of tzedakah. That it goes for the upkeep of the shiurim or whatever, and that's considered like tzedakah also. And even shiurim for women, where maybe there's no specific mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but there's other mitzvahs involved with giving shiurim for women, chizuk or whatever, and you can give money to support shiurim for women also. And I guess that would go also with not just shiurim in Torah, but shiurim that would strengthen shalom bayis and other things like that. You could use meiser money to support those kinds of shiurim. You're allowed to give meiser money to hatzalah, zaka, and organizations that are involved in hatzalah and nefashas.
Okay.
And you can also give meiser for pidyon shvuyim. Now, what exactly pidyon shvuyim? I want to spend a little bit of time on that. What is pidyon shvuyim? So the classical pidyon shvuyim is where people were kidnapped by goyim and held for ransom. And even if there's no danger to their life, but you're allowed to ransom them. That was par for the course through many years of history where pirates and the goyim used to do this for a living. Used to kidnap people. Is there places in the world where it's done today? In Mexico, it's known that people are kidnapped, rich people, and they basically aren't interested in killing them or whatever, it's interested in getting money. If you pay the money, you get your person back. So there, that's for sure called pidyon shvuyim, even if there is no danger to life. Surely if there's a danger to life, or a danger that the person is going to end up living amongst goyim and giving up Yiddishkeit is also a spiritual death. So that's, but we don't have that kind of pidyon shvuyim usually today. What are the two kinds of pidyon shvuyim that are advertised all the time that people should give their money to? One is girls that ran off with Arabs and now change their mind and realize that they're being treated like slaves or whatever in Arab villages and have children, and ransoming them, right, it doesn't mean you pay the Arabs to get them out. They're not interested in accepting money. But you pay the organization to pay people to go in and get them out and save them. Is that called pidyon shvuyim? On the one hand, you could say that these girls were by themselves. They shouldn't have befriended these Arabs or whatever and put themselves in this situation. On the other hand, Lamaisa, could be that they didn't do it out of rishus. The person was a baltai who gets himself into a situation, there's a mitzvah to ransom them from that situation too, even though they caused it on their own. Also, there's children involved, usually. Right? So, and if there's not children now, there'll be children in the future that could be involved. So even if the girls themselves are to blame for their situation, the children are not to blame. So, lecha'ora, that would, and they claim on the radio that they have psakim, that this is called pidyon shvuyim. Pidyon shvuyim is the highest level of tzedakah. So that's called pidyon shvuyim, and to ransom, to pay money to be able to get these girls out of Arab villages or whatever, with their children, or even without children, but the fear of future children, l'cha'ora has a din of pidyon shvuyim. What about getting somebody out of jail? Somebody went to jail, and you can give money towards organizations that will help to get them out of jail. Pay for lawyers, pay for bribery, whatever other means. You can get a person out of jail in various places.
Been,
what?
If he shouldn't have been in jail.
We didn't say, you can say that. We didn't say the person's in jail. Person's in jail, and you can help to get him out in legal ways. Not in illegal ways. In legal ways. He's not being held captive. He was judged by a legitimate court of that place or whatever. So there's quite a few interesting halachas here. For instance, what's his name? Pollard is one example, right, of somebody who's in jail and a lot of legal fees or whatever, and trying to get him chanina, right, to be pardoned by the government over there. That costs money. Is that legitimate, since he's in jail in a civilized country, supposedly according to the law, which is, that case is pretty clear that it's not the law, that it's beyond anybody else who's ever put in jail for the same things, was never put in jail for the time that he's been there. Or, what's his name? Kostas Rubashkin. Right. Also, he's put in jail for l'cha'ora, for reasons that are, you know, he did things against the law, supposedly. He's there because he's supposed to be there. The question is that legitimate, called pidyon shvuyim? Or people who actually committed crimes, but in goyish jails, is there an inyan to get them out of jail? The maisa, they're there because legally, the dina de malchus adina. And also, how about in Israeli jails? Right, l'chora, they're in jail with, by Jews, that the laws of the land in Eretz Israel could be considered also the law, because these are things that people made for the betterment of society. Any group that gets together and makes laws for the betterment of society, those laws are takif. So even if the laws are not din ha-Torah, whatever, you don't put people who stole in jail. They have to pay back. But if that's what the society decides, then that becomes the law. And it's mutter to do that. Shaila is if the dinim of Eretz Yisrael have that din or not. Right? It's a society thing. People got together, they made a country, and they made laws for the betterment of society, so people should be able to live with each other. If people don't go to jail, if they steal, then the people are going to steal. So it's something that is a consensus that people did, or not. Maybe here, the law should be Alpi HaTorah, right, especially in areas where they contradict the Torah, and maybe we don't say Dina D'Malchus Adina in that situation, even by Jews, or specifically by Jews. So he has over here this interesting tshuva from of these kind of things. He says like this. I'll read you the whole thing. Ooh. We'll see. Who is this? It's a organization that answers, not on their own. They bring it just from other places. So he says like this. Mitzvah rabba shal pidyon shvuyim noi gam klapi asirim yehudim akluim b'mekomo shalo tzvuyo lehem shum sakon eskayim. In general, the mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim applies to Jewish prisoners who are imprisoned in places where there is no danger to their life. Still, it could be that there's an inyan of pidyon shvuyim. Okay, a Jew that's in jail because of some crime that he did, right? From the fact that he caused himself to be put in jail because of a crime, right, does not in itself exempt the community from trying to ransom him, to get him out of jail. Okay, just the fact that he did something wrong, and because of that he's in jail, right, does not in itself say that leave him there. He deserves to be there. That you don't say that. But Medina's chok mitukana. So surely, if he's in a jail in a place where it's not, there's no law and order. And he's not there because he did anything wrong. He's put in jail on trumped up charges or whatever. And you're saving him from tsar and from, could be, his life's in danger also in those kind of places. There for sure there's a mitzvah to try to get him out. But what about the Medina Schok Mitukenis? In a law place that's civilized, lawful country, right? In a place that's civilized and the person's there because he committed a crime, and it's clear he did commit the crime. If he was convicted wrongly or whatever, you have evidence that he's there, shelo kedin, so then there's a mitzvah to try to get him out in any way you can. But if he's legally there, so then the pidyon shvuyim is limited to lawful means that are available to get him out of prison, to get him a pardon, to get what's it called, pay people to go and speak at his trial or whatever, to try to get him mercy or whatever, and a mitigated sentence. All of that is within the legal purview that is open to people to do. But there's no mitzvah to go and, you know, make a jailbreak and get him out of jail like that. Because he's there legally.
Who so, determines if he was legitimately convicted?
Usually if it's a lawful country and they went through a trial process, you can assume that they judged him properly. Right,
if it's
in Japan.
I'm saying, like, and no, in other words, like, often, especially with a jury, you convict on what seems to be more circumstantial evidence. The guy said he didn't do it, and they're saying, well, we have this and this, which could prove it, could not prove it. They won't convince the jury. So, do you have, you know, where do we draw the line of he was rightly convicted versus we think he, you know, someone like.
Like the boys in Japan.
Well, Japan is not a
yeah, right. That's not right. I'm saying in America also is no riot, but again,
like
you can't.
Pollock, you know, Pollard, whatever. Pollard. Right. Like, so officially he was judged, he was tried, he was convicted, right? Now we say that wasn't a legitimate conviction or the sentence wasn't normal. So where do we draw that line as to what's normal and what's not?
Okay, again, where it's pretty clear that the person was framed or whatever, and there's evidence to that fact, and the courts, whatever reason, didn't ignore that, then it could be that he's convicted wrongly, and there'll be people who've, you know, but there's ways of asking for a retrial or whatever and paying for that or whatever. Lechora, in a civilized country, it's very difficult to be mater methods that go against the laws of the country. If they're not civilized countries or countries where they make arbitrary kinds of things, like in Japan or whatever, right? Even there, they didn't try to do things against the law. They tried to do it within the purview of the law, even in Japan. Places where there's no law and order, it's on the Wild West in South America or someplace like that. There could be that there's inyonim to try to get there, like they got this guy out recently from, I don't know where he was, right. So that he wasn't held on any legal trial or whatever. It was clear there was no trial at all. He was just being held, you know, whatever, as mamash a hostage.
That means as long as it's a civilized country, even if you think that the person was framed.
Right. Lechora, but that's the laws of the country, and he was convicted according to the laws of that country. And it's a civilized country. So they can make mistakes, but there's ways of correcting that too. But just because you think, look, go to prison, nobody is guilty. Everybody says that they're innocent. Right? And the Gemara says that's the metzias of a person. If a person says that he, before he's executed for a crime that he did, right, if he wants to say, look, I'm molde, I want to make confession for all my sins except for this one, because this one I'm innocent, they don't let him say that. Because everybody would say it. And they, what's it called, because nobody wants to admit they're guilty. So, and the court would be constantly looked upon as a bunch of murderers. right? So you don't let somebody say that, because that's a tef of a person, right? They bring a raya from there. How much embarrassment is important to a person? Because the guy knows that if he doesn't confess, he's not gonna get a shelik or olam haba. His death is not gonna be mechaper on him, and he knows he's gonna be executed in 15 minutes. So for 15 minutes he'll be embarrassed of admitting that he did the sin, but he'll get olam haba. People would rather not get olam haba not to have 15 minutes of embarrassment. Right? We're saying the guy's really guilty. And he's saying this just because he's embarrassed. So you see how much a person considers embarrassment is important to a person. Okay. Hold on for questions. Okay, so let's first see what it is, and then we've got the questions. Okay. He says like this: Yeshna mikri mispar shebehem ein chov lifto shovi. There are situations where there is no mitzvah to spend money to try to get a person out of prison. Yehudi mumer lahachis, a person who is an abaryon lahachis, not just he doesn't believe in anything. He transgresses the Torah willfully, not just because he has a taiva to do it. He just doesn't care. He doesn't believe in anything. Afilu rak lavera achas, even if he's a guy who eats treif, right? Because he doesn't care. He keeps all the other mitzvahs. That's called a mumer lahachis, even the dover echad. Lozu buvat shein chov liftoso. Not only aren't you required, we'll see in one second that there's a disclaimer to this. But in that situation, not only isn't there a mitzvah to redeem him, ela af osur lasos kein. You're not allowed to redeem him. Not only you're not allowed to spend money on this, you're not allowed to try to redeem it. Achvar iskabla hachros haposkim asovrim sheovri aveira bizman hazeh ein lachzikum kemumrim lahachis ve'einam ele tinok shenishbu. Most people today have a din of a tinok shenishbu. They were brought up like that, and therefore they're not doing it out of the fact that they know what they're doing and rejecting. They don't know what they're rejecting. So most people today don't fit into this category. The most they are is a mumer l'teyavon, which means that they do averis because they have a yetzer hara to do them. Yesh no ofen, so that really doesn't apply to most people. Even people who aren't frum, right? Most of them were brought up not frum and can classify for this at least to be a what's it called, a tinnik shenishba. So therefore, it's not osur to spend money to try or to do things to try to get them out of prison. Yesh no ofen shebo af mumer l'teyavon. Right. However, there are situations where even a person who's not a mumer lahachis, right, but he's not from and he does things wrong. Yeah, also if also where it's still also to get him out of prison. For who shomed barisho v'shon lebotamid. If he he's constantly doing this sin. And that's why he was in prison. For instance, Ganev. He's a burglar. And he does it for a living. Right? He breaks into people's homes. That's how he supports himself. All people who are, in prison. Because they are professional criminals. Right? Murderers. People who are, murderers, we'll get to this another reason. Ganovim, whatever. Okay, they're those kind of people. Unless you know for sure they did tshuva, there's no mitzvah to get them out of prison because they are professional criminals.
Doesn't it take just one time doing stealing or whatever to go to jail? I mean, they're not going to say, "Oh, you
this." Yeah, no. So somebody who was stole once and was put into jail doesn't fit into this. But somebody who was put into jail 2-3 times, he's a repeater, right? So you see that this is something that's part of his way of life. There's no mitzvah to take him out, right? Mm-hmm. So the first time maybe, but after that he repeats it over and over again. Not harama posak shemi shemisakin rabim kagon sheosek b'ziyufim, or another possibility: person's a danger to society, danger to Jewish society. He's a counterfeiter in a country where if there's one counterfeiter that's a Jew, they'll take it out on the whole Jewish population. Okay. Then you're not only a mitzvah to take him out of prison, there's a mitzvah to get him to be moser on him because he's endangering other people, right? And therefore, if somebody is a threat to society. Right, he's put into jail because he's a person that is alim, right? What's the word in English?
Violent.
A violent person. He's a murderer. He's a sex offender. He's a danger to society. So there's no mitzvah to get him out of prison and expose society to this person who taka should be in prison, right? Unless you know for sure that he's that did tshuva and he's no longer a threat. But a lot of people do tshuva, doesn't mean they're no longer a threat. Right? They did tshuva and they're not in the position where they can do the avera anymore because they're in jail. But if they're let out, they may go back to revert back to what they were. Okay, a drug dealer, same thing, is a threat to society. So unless you know that he is repentant and he's not going to be a drug dealer anymore, there's no inyo to take drug dealers out who could again present a danger to society.
But is there an inyo to get them in?
Is there an inyo to get them in? Yeah, if they're a danger, the only way you can get them off the street and stop the danger is to report on them. Yes, mitzvah report on them. But before you have to go to a beis din. Because how do you know that maybe he's not really a sex offender? Maybe he's being framed. Maybe he didn't do it. Maybe there's a lot of people who accuse people of things they never did. Mm-hmm. Right? A lot of people in this world, especially when it comes to these inyanim. Right? In America, it's any little thing, right, over can be blown up. The kids can say to the teacher that they don't like, right, that he abused me, he did this to me, he did that to me, and it could be no thing at all, but they're ready to believe the supposed victims and destroy people's lives for nothing. Right? On the other hand, it could be that they are true and they're a danger to people. So it's a very delicate balance between knowing where it's true and where it's not true, because you're dealing with two lives. You can destroy the supposed perpetrator's life if he's not a perpetrator. You can destroy the supposed victim's life if he is a victim. So it's not clear. There's been many cases of people who have been accused of things they never did. Right? And again, the climate in America is to believe always the person who claims to have been a victim and not bother to really look into it to be able to prove it one way or the other. And that's why in America they don't, what's it called, first grade teachers aren't allowed to take the kids to the bathroom without like two aidim or whatever, because they're afraid that they'll be accused of, you know, being some kind of pervert or something. It's absurd, and to a certain degree it's over protection to a way that harms people who are essentially people of what's it called business, and they don't like their boss, so they claim what's it called that they've been harassed, right, when it could be there's nothing to it at all. Or what they consider, or what the government considers harassment, is not harassment at all. It's nothing. But people have had their lives destroyed, their parnosis destroyed because of that, and without any real grounds for it. So it's not just pashut that you can turn somebody in because you heard a rumor that they're doing something or whatever. There has to be a lot more grounds to that before. But there are grounds to turn people into the police, right? Not just to deal with it yourself. Because, you know, warning the person or whatever, if the person's really a sick person, not going to help. So then the government should take care of it. People who can do something about it should take care of it. So there are cases where a person should report somebody to the authorities. There are definitely cases where you shouldn't. And it's a very, very delicate line. And therefore, most poskim say, first it has to be brought to a beis din, and they have to hear the evidence, and they also have to hear the side of the person who's being accused. You have to give him a chance to defend himself and to explain. And after all of that, then the beis din can tell you that you can. Right, it's not so partial, because people who are in positions of authority, teachers, rabbonim, who know about these things, and they don't report it, they themselves can be put in prison. So you don't have the luxury sometimes of saying, well, I wanted to check it out first. As soon as you heard a rumor, you're supposed to give it. And supposedly the authorities will then look into it and deal with it properly. But that's not the case most of the time. Once it's given over to the authorities, there's no shlita that it's going to be done properly. So it's a very, very delicate kind of thing. Right? Bottom line, before a person reports anything, right, he should speak to find out halachically what he should do, and eventually he should go to a Beis Din or whatever. Psychologist, psychiatrist calling me. Right? What should they do? They have a situation where they know somebody could be a threat to society. Nobody yet caught him, but he knows because he's dealing with this person. And does he have to report him? And it could be that if he doesn't report him and they find out later that something happens, they'll put the psychiatrist in jail. He's mechuyev. Is he mechuyev to report somebody to save his own skin on a possible that could be in the future? Usually I tell him like this, that if in the situation as it is, the person is not that much of a threat, you feel that it's under control, he's not a threat, and you could say that in defense of yourself, right? Later on, so then it's usher to, but the person has to be warned that if he doesn't change and he doesn't get the help that he needs, that you are going to report it. So he has that hanging over it. It's not so partial, but each situation is different. Okay. And therefore a repeater who's a threat to society because he's in prison, constantly for the same offense. So he's a threat to society. That kind of person for sure, there's no mitzvah, there's probably an issur to get him out of prison. Poskim mishpar kosvu, shirotseach Yehudi b'mezid. Right, a person who killed a Jew b'mezid, another Jew even. Shigam al pi din Torah hu mechuyev misa, and if there would be edim in hasra, he'd be chayev misa for killing another Jew. Right, he killed him b'mezid, mami, shot him dead. Right, v'chol apochos b'dei shamayim, and even if there's no chiyuv misa's based in, but at least b'dei shamayim is chayev misa, because we know for sure he killed the guy. Just there was no edim, no hasra, whatever. And he's on death row. There's no mitzvah to save him. Because basically, we know for sure that he killed somebody. Right? If he didn't actually kill somebody, or he did it, what's it called, in a way that it wouldn't be chayv misa, afilu bidei shamayim. It was only, it was a groma that wasn't intended or whatever. Usually they don't execute people for that kind of thing. But then it could be there's a mitzvah to try to save him at least from a death penalty. Even in a case where there is no mitzvah to get the guy out of prison, there is a mitzvah to try to get his prison sentence to be not oppressive. In other words, if you can do something to put him in a low... security prison instead of a high security where he's amongst people who may who knows what to do to him, right, kill him or other things, there to try to do that. Or you can get him kosher food, you can get him whatever it may be to make his stay in prison more bearable. There is a mitzvah to do, even for people that there's no inyan to take them out of prison. Okay. In prisons in Israel, where are Jews who are put people in prison, and there could be this machlokas whether that is okay al pi Torah or it's not okay. If it's okay, then sure, there's no union to save the person. That's his jinn. That's what society decided. Save society. If he's not supposed to be there, so then it's no different than a goyish, a prison or whatever, and the same halachas apply.
That means that Israel is considered a civilized society as far as the Haredi in the Shiloni court?
It could be. I don't know. I don't know if it's as bad as that no Haredi can get a fair judgment. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know. There are people who claim that. The people who claim that everything in Chutzlar is also anti-Semitism, but it's not the case. The famous joke, the guy who stutters terribly and he's telling how he was, what's it called, not accepted for a job of being an interpreter or whatever, and he's stuttering until he gets it out, and he said, they said to him, he says, and you know why I wasn't accepted, because of anti-Semitism. So not everything is anti-Semitism. And not everything is anti-Haredi, but it could be in certain situations that's the case. Right? But everybody who's in jail in America who's from is not because they were out to get from people, because there's plenty of goyim in jail too for the same things. In certain cases, it appears to be that there are judges or who are anti-Semites. And then, if that's the case, then maybe there's a bigger inyan to try to ransom that person, to get him out of prison, because he was on, look, well, Rabushkin, there's all different shitas of what, you know, is he deserve what he got, he didn't deserve what he got. Right? There's a lot of evidence that he was bedafka targeted because he was a Jew. Or because he was a frum Jew. Could be. Could be not. Same thing with Pollard. Could be. There's a lot of anti-Semitism in that. But it's not always the case. But there are cases where it could be. So then they have to go on a... you can't say that every Haredi Jew who's in jail, right, is there because he's Haredi. And if he wouldn't have been Haredi, he wouldn't be in jail. It's not the case. I know quite a few Haredi Jews are in jail, and they deserve to be in jail. And if they would have been not Haredi, they'd be in jail too.
So there's a difference in it. If it's a generally civilized society and a person is just framed, so that doesn't make a difference. But,
right.
if it's that case was uncivilized, even though it's generally a civilized society.
Right, but you know over here that there's Eifa for Eifa. If the person would have been, he's there only because of who he is, what he is, right? And you know that there was anti-Semitism involved or whatever, or the government's going after people and they don't care about the evidence or whatever, they just want these kind of people put away because it's good for their record or whatever. There are cases like that too, right? And the government went against Medicaid cases of doctors that even if they didn't have enough evidence or whatever, they convicted these people because they wanted to get even with doctors. Not necessarily this guy, but doctors or, you know, what's it called? We want plain people on the jury, want to get doctors because doctors are taking advantage of them and they make too much money. And even if the evidence isn't there, there was a ruach like that, right? For years in America, could be, it didn't stop till now. There was a ruach once where they, again, now against from Jews in Echonami, where they want to get, you know, white collar from Jew crime and they're going after them. Then it could be that in Echonami, a person's been not been tried fairly. It's possible. It depends on the circumstances of the thing.
In order to qualify to be able to use mice and money for a particular cause, you have to know the background and what you're doing. For example, say we talked about Jonathan Pollard, so if you listen to what Dr. Lukens has to say,
yeah,
he had his chance. And he decided not to take it because he wouldn't sign the documents. They came to him and said, sign the documents, you're out. So he didn't sign the documents. So you could still use mice and money, you spend thousands of dollars on lawyers to go to a second chance. There was a chance.
I don't know. Again, I don't know who to believe in these things, with all due respect to Dr. Lukens, but he has his political reasons too. But there are people who tie that it's not true or whatever, and there are Anoshim Gedolim who hold that he's being persecuted, Mamash Shalok Kedin. Gedolim, what's it called? Mordechai Eliyahu was very much for helping him, and some people say, oh, they're being fooled. I don't know who to believe in that situation. The Maisa, it seems, from everything that's being said, even by people in the American government, that the people who put him there in the beginning were mamash anti-Semites. And it's Gedai to help him get out of there no matter what. That's what it seems.
Yeah.
Right. Personally, I daven for the guy every day as you get out of prison. So it doesn't cost me anything.
And the second question, we talked earlier about these girls in the Arab villages and so forth. So when is it pilud, as some kind of activity to get one of these girls or the children out because they requested it or they changed their mind, they had harata, or they saw that they're being enslaved there, they want to get out, so that's one thing. oftentimes these organizations do their own pilyot to discover, find these places, find the people, find the girls, convince them that their situation is worse than it really is, maybe it could be. And you have a circumstance where in every Arab village, basically everybody is the other guy's first cousin, and they all have these Jewish girls that came there on their own accord to begin with, and their pilyot that you're paying for may be detrimental to all the others.
I don't know. I don't know what the Messias is, except if there are children involved, then for sure it's an Indian. These are Jewish children. If it's girls that are there, and there's a mitzvah to get them out of, you know, to bring them back to Yiddishkeit. It's Shaykh. Again, it could be that a girl who's there and she wants to be there, whatever, there's no Indian to save her. There's a halacha like that. You can't be Machal Shabbos and somebody who's interested in being, you know, maybe a mumra, running away with a goy. You know, Machal Shabbos, save such a person.
What about
if she's doing it willingly?
What about preventing these type of cases in the first place?
Yeah, that's the main thing that these organizations supposedly do. They take these girls in before they become vulnerable to.
I mean, like most of what I'm talking about, like, we know somebody in Arsmech, from Arsmech, I think he was in Mansi, I think he was a Gary, used to be an Arab, and he converted, and he married a girl. She also used to be an Arab, and basically at one point, her father, who was some Arab diplomat or something or another, found them and he came to their house. He was speaking to the husband in English, all smiley, and then he turned to the girl and tell her in Arabic, "Go, come back, you'll be my princess again." It's pretty scary story. So, you know, like,
what did you do in that situation?
No, like, let's say to pay somebody to guard the area or whatever.
To prevent somebody from being captured?
Yeah, that's
even better than Pinyin Shvuyim. Instead of waiting until the person's captured and ransom them, for sure, if you can, you know, somebody's in danger of being, you want to help pay for security for that person, right? That's better than waiting until he's captured and paying money to get him free. Mm. But it has to be that, you know, it's time to pay for security for somebody that the chances of being kidnapped are very small.
So how far does that go? So a Jew, you meet a Jew that is running from the police, who has not yet been convicted. Obviously, he's running for a reason.
Again, it depends. But it depends. If he's running for the police and he's really guilty, there's one thing. Somebody once called me that they wanted to hide somebody here that's running from the police here, and the rabbi who called me told me that he's completely innocent. No, what's it called? He's not didn't do anything. Whatever he claims, at least when he and the Rav, I think, knew that he wasn't here. It was in New York. I went to see some Gadol, and he had a guy with him talking who was the police were after, and he was said the person's all mamish trumped up charges, and there's a mitzvah to help him because he knew specifically that it wasn't true. So here it was to save him from getting into that legal system because it wasn't true. Yeah, there's an Indian to get involved. How much a person get involved? You don't have to, the chiyuv is not a tzibur. He is not on every yachid. The tzibur is a chiyuv. And you can contribute towards the tzibur what you can contribute of monies that you have available. And there's other things that you have to do, so you have to take into consideration what the priorities are. But pinyin shvuyim, a maish, is a big mitzvah. It takes precedence over other mitzvahs.
A person who hides it can be in big trouble.
So you can't be mechayev of somebody to do that, but somebody is willing to do that, right, knowing that he's saving somebody who's really innocent, right, and trying to do it in a way that over there, I don't think they were going to try to, you know, get him out of the country or something like that. That can be also be, but they just wanted to make sure that before he was, you know, arrested, when then it's hard to, that they did everything in their power beforehand to make the arresting easier, or the whatever, to get enough information beforehand to avoid the guy in the end being arrested. I think that's what it is. There's a young guy, what's it called? I don't know what they claimed he did, they didn't hear the whole story, but This is, when was the last time I was in New York? I went to see this Nite Gavriel, a Rogiel Zinner. They have all this story. I want to see who he was. So, interesting person, but he had this guy with him, and told me to give the guy a bracha. What's it called? He could use all the brachas he can get. The guy really looked distraught. And he explained to me that he was being, you know, they're out to get him, you know, to find him, and if they find him under the circumstances, things be terrible, so they're trying to get as much zechuyos for him before he got caught, or before he handed himself in or something. Okay, but I wanted to do in the Mesillas Yesharim, which we don't have time for tonight. We'll start with that next time, is we're talking about Kovod for Talmidei Chachamim, and Kovod also for Mekomos HaKdoshim. I want to speak about Kovod Beis HaKnesses, talking in shul, bringing kids to shul to run around, or whatever, and to what's it called, to, even though this is like, you know, preaching to the converted, or what's it called, to the, what is this called, the choir? Right. But the mice, you know, chavre chavre islay, and it gets, the word gets out, I guess, somehow. So, it's kedai to go through. At least it strengthens the people that know it. We'll go through a little bit the Indian of Kovod Beis HaKnesses.